touch a few things. So we got a short passage. You know, a fool in Proverbs is basically one who doesn't believe there's God. A fool as a Christian then is one who believes in God, but not a knowledge or walk with God. You know, when MJ keep reminding us, Jesus got this. And we kind of know it in our head, but yet we run around like a chook without his head, I guess, trying to fix things when Jesus keeps saying, hey, I got this. You know, we are really at our best when we are in God's will. You know, when we strive, that's where we walk out of alignment of the Spirit. So this scripture reminds us, don't be foolish, which means we sometimes are unwise. That's why the scripture is there. Don't be a fool. Don't you know God got this? But sometimes we do it our own and thinking we are better than God. You know, I know some of you don't think like that, but sometimes I act like that, so I get myself in trouble. Now, so you got that in front of you. I want to read Isaiah 59, the last scripture, and then Isaiah 60. Isaiah 59, verse 21 says, as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you, and my words that I put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth or from the mouths of your children or from the mouths of their descendants from this time on and forever, says the Lord. When was this fulfilled? When was this covenant fulfilled? When Jesus came. In other words, it is being fulfilled as we are sitting here. And because it's fulfilled, because the Spirit is within us, and His Logos word lives within us, and we can speak with the Spirit of prophecy and speak Rhema, therefore, Isaiah keeps saying, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of our Lord Jesus rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light. Nations will come to your light. You are the light of the world. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. So this scripture is fulfilled when Jesus said, my kingdom has come, the kingdom is near. And then Paul picked this up in Ephesians 5. Because sometimes we forget, the church has been slumbering. We are in the age of darkness. The days are evil. You know, this COVID pandemic is not really a surprise. It's more of a catalyst to say that how bad our world is. It just highlighted like, wow, my neighbors are not that friendly. My church members, COVID or no COVID, there's division. So we are in the age of darkness. It is time to prophetically arise again. It's time to wake up again, you know. So in this scripture, it's basically in reference to how we conduct ourselves in the world. So Ephesians is very efficient in the way Paul writes it. In Romans, there's 16 chapter. He have to outline in the 11th chapter before he goes like, therefore, I beseech you. All right? So Paul always writes theologically. So theologically is, you need to know this. You need to believe this. So the first three chapters of Ephesians is, you need to know this. You need to believe this. Jesus has done it all. He's the head over all. In Him, you're going to get all these goodies. In Him, you are qualified. In Him, you are more than worthy. All right? And therefore, Ephesians 4, it starts off, therefore, walk in a way that's worthy of your calling, the calling that you have received. When did you receive it? When you know and believe the first three chapters of what Christ has done. It is in there that we learn it is by the grace of God we are saved, not by works. So it's all in Jesus. And because Jesus is in us, we can walk in a way that is worthy. So Ephesians 4 unpacked, which is really, really heavy stuff. If you don't have the life of Christ in you, you're like, how can I be completely humble? How can I completely be gentle? And the gentle is the word meekness. We don't use that word, it's an old word, but meekness is very powerful. Meekness means you have the right emotion all the time. How many of you can say that? In other words, you're only angry at the right stuff. So anger is part of it. You're only angry at the right stuff. You're never angry at the wrong stuff. So you have the right emotion all the time. But meekness also have the understanding, like a wild beast being trained and tamed. So we, full of sin, if you are well trained and tamed, we are Christ-controlled Christians. That's what we admit. So a stallion will still as be a stallion that is under the training and the taming of the trainer. That's what meekness is. Then he said, be patient, long-suffering. As in, don't give up on your brothers. Don't give in. You know, the long-suffering was a military term. The Romans used to go for it. You know, they get defeated, but they never say die. It was not in their vocabulary to give up, to give in. They keep going. So that's the kind of long-suffering that we will call in our relationship with each other. So you've got humility, willing to be down there, to be able to lift someone up. And then you have meekness, and then you have long-suffering. Then he said, bear with each other. Accept each other's fault with unconditional, unconquerable love. What that means is you will that your brothers and sisters have the best regardless of their behavior. Regardless how they treat you, you have that in your heart, in your will, that I'm going to bless my brothers and sisters no matter what. And then verse 3 says, you do whatever you can to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what walking worthily in verse chapter 4. Alright? So like say chapter 4 to 6 is how to be and believe. Sorry, how to be and do. Alright? The first three chapters is knowing and believing. This now is how to be and do. Alright. Now chapter 5, like say, then it say another walk. Walk wisely. Conduct yourself wisely. Therefore, be careful circumspectly how you live. Walk not as unwise, foolish men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. To understand is to grasp, to grip, to have a grip of God's will. Do you know what God's will for you in 2021? In a time of darkness, in the days of evil, the word evil has this connotation, start off with good fruit, and you leave it alone for a few days, few weeks, what happens? So the time, the days we live in is not static. It is changing, and it's changing rapidly, and it's corroding. That's why we need to arise, we need to walk wisely. Circumspectively is basically, you know, the circumference, walk with your eyes so clearly and accurately, so that you walk with exactness, accuracy. That's really hard. That's really hard. All right. Again, we're called to do that. Go to the next one, please. And this is the solution. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled in such a way that every part, every aspect of your life is saturated with the Spirit. You know, some of you, I just bought Maria perfume because it's our 31st anniversary. No surprise, she like, I want that one. And it's not even full, it was a sample. So, but what do you do with the perfume? You know, what do you do with a perfume? If you don't open it and use it, what's the use of perfume? Nothing. So to be filled with the Spirit is to allow the Spirit to diffuse and saturate it so much that it affects your mindset. It affects your emotion. It affects your will. So that, you know, like you know, I use the word GPS. You know, like if you want to go this way, but the prompting in the Lord in your GPS is so hard, it said, don't go this way. And you actually follow the prompting and say, no, I'll go to Ellie's, you know, or Andy's. So that's what being filled is. We are born again of the Spirit. But are we controlled by the Spirit? Are we being trained and tamed with meekness that we are Christ-controlled Christian? That's what being filled with. Being inspired. Being completely saturated. And then what happens when you have that? It's all about relationship. Speaking good stuff to each other. I mean, I'm not a singer, so speaking in sounds and feeling. I better try that. Whew. I don't know. Hip hop. Singing and making melody with your heart, you know? You can't make melody in your heart and feel depressed. You can't do that. You can't have a peaceful mindset and yet, you know, carrying anxiety. So all that is good, but it is all in the Spirit. And then giving thanks. So that giving thanks is not about all things, because God don't care about things. God care about people. The people that comes in your path, do you give thanks? The people that, what I call, you know, somebody called it actually, grace grower. Grace grower is when you want patience, God send someone that irritate you like mad, so that you can grow that patience, all right? And you're supposed to give thanks. You know, people who swear at you. And then when you do that, relationship just in sync. You don't think about self, you prefer and defer to others. That's where you submit to one another out of love. That's my sermon for today. We're going to finish with do it again. All right? Do it again. I like that one. Or you want to choose another one? Nah, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Oh, sorry. Do the new one. Yeah. You know, the new one, it says arrival is not the end game. You know what it's saying? It's not how you start, how you finish. Daniel is going to give us a sermon, surprisingly. Begin with the end in mind. That's his title. Sorry, just surprised my son. All right, let's sing.